This morning's scripture reading is from Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly, a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of it. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear.
Sometimes it's difficult for me to put into context when things happen, but it was just, 9 days ago that many of us gathered here for a funeral service for one of our brothers, Roger Brubaker. And wonderful service, celebrating his life, even though for many of us this was not expected. It was sudden. It was shocking in some ways. But his daughters paid tribute to him in that service. And one of his daughters wrote out something that she had passed to me to read. And I'd like to read to you something from what she wrote. This past September, Mom's dad died, and 6 weeks later, Mom's mother died. I spoke at Grandma's funeral and shared how our then 4-year-old son knew that both Grandpa and Grandma were going to heaven before they died. On the morning of Grandpa's death, he was running laps through our house, and he at one point stopped running and out of the blue asked, "Dad, are we going to heaven today?" My husband said, "No, I hope not." He replied, "Grandpa's going to heaven today." And then he took off running again. Later that day, we got the call that Grandpa went to be with Jesus. Then in October, on the night of Grandma's death, we were not aware of how she was doing. I didn't have a phone. I didn't have my phone on me. Only knew that my parents had headed to Somerset earlier in the day to see Grandma because she was not well. Around 8:15 in the evening, which was the exact same time Grandma was dying, my husband was getting our son ready for bed. He told him that they needed to pray for Grandma. He replied, asking, "Is Grandma in heaven?" My husband responded, "Not yet, buddy." Then my son said, "God is reaching down and pulling her to heaven." So after the tragic events rapidly unfolded for Roger on that horrible Thursday evening at Effort Hospital, I was watching my son closely to see if he would say anything about Dad. While I was grieving during this time, I was careful not to disclose too much information to our children. It wasn't until the Tuesday night before Dad died that my son said something. This would be Tuesday, a week before he died. Mike and I were both able to put him to bed that night as the other two kids were already asleep. While sitting in bed, my son said, "Pop is really, really sick. We should pray for him." I responded, "That's a good idea." He said, I want to say prayers. He started by singing, "Good night, Jesus. Good night, Father God. Good night, Holy Spirit. We love you with all our heart." It's at this point that he usually then thanked God for different people, but he was silent. So I asked, "Do you want to pray for Pop?" He responded with, "No, you say it." And then he interjected, saying, "Wait, we should close our eyes and see if God whispers anything to our heart." I then prayed for Pop, and after I finished, my son popped up in bed, said, "God spoke something to my heart. He said he will keep healing Pop all of the time, and that he's going to bring him home on Monday." My son had a huge smile and was elated with this revelation, kept saying, "Isn't that great? That's so great. That's so great." My husband and I just looked at each other. God did bring Dad home on Monday to his mansion in heaven. A close friend shared with me that when a saint is welcomed into heaven, there's such excitement and pure joy, like what my son was expressing. How do you explain that? What do you take away from that? A young child of 4 years old, knowing things that the rest of us don't know. Maybe your takeaway is, here's a young child so able, so adept at hearing the voice of God. Maybe it's a gifting. Maybe it's just something that children are able to do, and maybe gets us to ask the question, why don't we have that ability? Why aren't we adept? What happened to us from childhood to now that we don't hear so clearly? Maybe the takeaway is, you hear this revelation of God to a young child, the verses from Matthew's gospel where Jesus calls a little child, places the child among them, and he says, "Truly I tell you, unless you change and become like little children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven." Or maybe you'll remember from Isaiah's prophecy in Isaiah 11, "The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling will lie together, and a little child will lead them." In this Lenten season, we're talking about hearing the voice of God. And last week, I shared a quote with you from Richard Foster out of his book, Celebration of Discipline. "We live in a universe created by the infinite, transcendent God." We sang about that God this morning. "Who's also the personal, imminent God with us, God, who delights in our communion with him, who delights in speaking, in communicating to and with us." I ended our time last week by asking a question and then giving you an answer that I think is scriptural. Would it matter if God spoke to you personally? Would it make a difference if God spoke to you? And my answer to you was, God believes it would. I even gave you an opportunity as an application, as in your regular readings in Scripture, to look how often those Scriptures are God's personal communication to either people in the Scriptures or to us. But it brings us to the point of today's message, which is, what does Scripture say about God communicating with us personally? My contention all along is that Scripture supports a personal revelation, his desire, his ability to speak to each one of us personally. I mentioned last week that we know about general revelation. We sang about that this morning, where God in nature reveals himself to us. In fact, none of us are free of responsibility. None of us are free to say God doesn't exist simply because of the testimony, the speaking of all nature. I spoke about specific revelation and the Scriptures that are given as being part of that specific revelation. But then I added another part of the specific revelation in the Scriptures all the time, that God gives a personal word to his people, to his children, how he speaks. My contention is also this, that Scripture does not support God's silence to us. In fact, I have yet to find someone anywhere where it says God is silent to any of us. We speak about the word of the Lord. Ultimately, Jesus is the word of the Lord. You understand that. John's gospel, the word made flesh, the incarnate, and that's absolutely true. Nothing hinders that. But in scriptures, when it talks about the word of the Lord, it doesn't talk always about the written scriptures. And in fact, every written scripture has come and is called the word of the Lord because it has been spoken first, spoken to the authors, spoken to the prophets. Even the most famous written word there is, the Ten Commandments, when God wrote them on the tablets, in Exodus 20, when he first gives us those Ten Commandments, it's not when he's writing them. He's speaking from Mount Sinai to the entire gathered congregation of the Hebrew people. It's at that point where they said, this is too much for us, and they send Moses up to meet with God, where he will eventually, God will inscribe them on the tablets. And yes, Scripture is the absolute authority for our lives. Absolutely. Doesn't change that. But we have to acknowledge that Scripture is God's record of his communication to us, his speaking to us. It's the record of the spoken word. And in the Scripture, it is so often the case where God is speaking to individuals, to this person, to that person, to groups of people, to prophets, to normal people like you and I. Even when he speaks to disciples, remember, the disciples were just normal Joes like us. And it happens so often that you have to assume that God's way of speaking is this, what we know as a spoken word. Now, whether that comes as an audible voice, we'll take that another time. But the reality is God speaks. And I wanted to capture that for you by taking you back to Acts chapter 2, the day of Pentecost. And so you have this in your bulletin. I would invite you to take that out with me and look at this passage. In the first verse, the day of Pentecost has come. It's one of those days that the world changed. You know days like that, but this one is certainly that. Certainly one of the days the world changed was when Jesus was crucified on the cross. Certainly one of the days that the world changed was when he was raised from the dead. But subsequent to that, the next greatest day was the day of Pentecost. And from the day of Pentecost, we have lived in a new intentional kingdom reality. It was the day of the birth of the church, what we're a part of. And the church isn't the building, the church is not the denomination. The church is us, the called out of God, the ecclesia. And through most of the last 2,000 years, the norm, the standard, has been this moment of Pentecost. This is what we look at. And even when the church has lost its bearings and got out of whack over the centuries, the goal of every revival has been to restore us to the New Testament reality, to the day of Pentecost reality. And what's surprising about every legitimate revival that we look at, every legitimate revival in history has had an element of this manifestation of the Holy Spirit, this Pentecostal coming of the Holy Spirit in power. Now today, and it's certainly been around for all the times I've been doing my study in school and otherwise, you know, there's been a whole raft of people that are always trying to get us back to the New Testament church, doing it the way they did it. And they look at all the things that they did, all the practices, all the functions, how they were doing this and all of that. They go all of it. But the one thing that is often and sometimes intentionally neglected is the day of Pentecost, which isn't how the day the church was organized. Wasn't the day that the church said, we will do this, that, and that, we'll have this, that, we'll have the supper here, we'll have Waldo here. It wasn't that day. It was the day that the Holy Spirit came in power. And the Holy Spirit came in power. And the first thing noted about this, when the Holy Spirit came in power, all these disciples, and there were more than just the 12, there were the others, probably up to maybe even 150 persons there. And all of a sudden, all these persons began to talk all at the same time in different languages. Now, this is distinct from what we know as the gift of tongues, but it was the speaking in, for them, unknown languages. And God used that, this manifestation of the Holy Spirit, to speak through them personally in languages that they understood to the nations that were gathered there, the Jews from all the nations. We get that. Then Peter stands up when people are wondering, you know, are these people just drunk? What's happening? And Peter stands up and he begins to preach. And as he preaches, he quotes from the prophet Joel, who says, in the last days, and the last days are the days from the time that Jesus is resurrected, the coming of the Holy Spirit, to the time Jesus is returning. That's the last days. There's really not much doubt about that. Not much debate about that. But in these last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. And then the prophet Joel goes on. Your sons, your daughters shall prophesy. And what is prophecy? The voice of the Lord coming to them and them speaking the words of encouragement to the people. Your young men will see visions. And what are visions? They're part of that prophetic package as well. A revelation of what God's doing, a communication visually of what God's doing. And then the one that really gets us, your old men, and I'm somewhere between young men and old men, more towards old men these days, but your old men will dream dreams. And again, the sense of revelation, communication to us for the benefit of ourselves and for those around us. Even on my servants, and by that I take it to mean those who are the lower class, those who are the workers, those who are in bondage, either in indentured servitude or whatever, both men and women, they will pour out, they will prophesy. Because he's going to pour out his spirit on them. It's all about communication. It's all about the Holy Spirit coming and abiding in us. The promised Holy Spirit to every believer. And the promises on all people, the Holy Spirit comes. As the revealer, as we looked at last week with John, in John's Gospel, as Jesus teaches about guiding us into truth. The day of Pentecost is a new reality, including through and by the Holy Spirit, personal revelation on all people. Now, the last time I checked, you were all people. You're in that group. I don't see anybody who really doesn't belong there. Now, time forbids me, and I have it here, but I could go through other scriptures in Acts where God, it speaks about God speaking to Ananias, who was to go to speak to Paul, speaking to Peter, showing a vision to Stephen as he's dying. All of these things. Speaking to Philip to go here, to go there. Speaking to some guy, some prophet by the name of Agabus who shows up now and then, who talks about this event and this event. Speaking to Paul and telling him what's going to happen. Revelation of what God, personal revelation to these people. Now, even last week and this week, I will say it again. Yes, there are cautions and concerns. One of the cautions or concerns, maybe, is that people wonder if we're just hearing from God personally, will there be a relinquishing of the place of the Scriptures? And no, there's never a diminution of the authority, the absolute authority of Scripture. In fact, the Scriptures become more important because we always take our personal revelation to the Scriptures. Are they in line? And if at any point they're not in line, the personal revelation is out. It doesn't work. And of course, some of you have lived through this. I've lived through this. Bad experiences. And we point to such groups as the Pentecostals, the Assembly of God, and sometimes we use that to kind of keep them at a distance. Or maybe you lived through the charismatic movement. That's the one that I was most familiar with. And I saw the abuses, and I saw the lack of accountability, and I saw the things that went wrong, and so there are cautions about that. But in spite of that, what has happened to us that we do not regularly hear from the Lord personally? Some of you do because you're regularly in the Word, but I'm speaking of that personal encounter where you spend your time in the Word and you come before the Lord and you quiet yourself and you say, okay, Lord, what would you want to say to me today? How would you like to speak to me? What's happened to us? Well, some of you have been taught that it's only the gifted, only the special super apostles or the super prophets or whatever that really have this ability for God to speak to you. And that's so wrong. It is clear that there are people with a greater gifting, a greater facility. They don't seem to have to work at it as much as we do, and it's a wonderful thing and a gift to the church. But nowhere in Scripture does it say it's only for those persons. In all of Scripture, it talks about a revelation to all the people, the Holy Spirit on all people. Richard Foster had another quote that I really enjoyed. He was talking about the authors of Scripture who heard the Word of God. And he says, God spoke to them. Not because they had special abilities or gifts. God spoke to them because they were willing to listen. What happened to us that we don't hear regularly? Well, some of you have taught, you've been part of churches that actually teach what we call cessationism. The ceasing of God revealing, the ceasing of prophecy. Certain gifts of the Spirit. And I can tell you right now that you will not find that teaching in Scripture. There's been a theological reasoning that's only appeared within the last 200 years that has brought that to life. But it's not a teaching of Scripture. Most of us don't hear because negligence. Because we've atrophied with the ability. Probably had a greater facility for it, a greater opportunity when we were children, but by the time we get into even elementary Sunday school, certainly by the time we're into high school age and solidified by adults, we've died on the vine, or we're dying on the vine. Even when some of us have heard clearly as children. I know testimonies of people in this congregation who, when this congregation was touched by the Holy Spirit in the 70s, you were hearing from the Lord. And you were actually asked to stop hearing. The bottom line is, we've not been encouraged. We've not been equipped to hear. In fairness, it was those who nurtured us who did not encourage us, who did not equip us. Pastors, parents, my grandfather, who was my pastor growing up, at least for the first almost 8 years of my life. And yet that church never taught about this. In response to them, they were never taught. What they were faced with was all the things that happen with the hearing, the personal word of revelation. They were faced with the issue of holding people accountable for what they were hearing. They were faced with some persons and stories about abuse or that they've either endured or whatever. They heard about the objections to this revelation. They did. And it was simply easier to pastor, to lead a church by ignoring the gift, by neglecting it. It was easier to be distracted by the spiritual challenges of the last 300 to 400 years in the history of the church, where other theological things became more important and battles to be fought. And this was one that, I don't want to have to fight that one too. The interesting thing in this is you can even see this neglect in something as agreeable to everyone as reading the scripture. You know, they do the surveys about this. They do the polls about reading scripture. And we know that the people in the pew, even though we have all been taught to read scripture, upwards of 70%+ of us do not read scripture regularly. So how can God even speak to us through the scripture? We're so woefully undisciplined. And we've learned that. Somewhere along the line, we've been taught that, or we've caught that more likely. Here's what I would ask you to do. I want to revisit Richard Foster's quote. God spoke to the authors of Scripture not because they had special abilities, but because they were willing to listen. I want you to pray and ask the Holy Spirit for a willingness to listen, even for a desire to listen. A desire to hear the voice of the Lord. I will share with you that one of the hardest hurdles I've had in listening to the voice of the Lord is not because I don't have a desire to hear, but because I have a fear to hear the Lord. That's one of the hurdles I've come through. And it surfaces every once in a while, especially when I'm tired. Afraid of what the Lord would say to me. But I can tell you truthfully, every time I've quieted myself to listen, the Lord has been so loving and gracious and encouraging to me. Pray for a desire to listen. Pray for a willingness to listen. A second thing I'd ask you to do is to pray for God to do, some of you are not going to like this because you had this in school and you hated it there, but it's a good thing. Pray for God to do a remedial work in you. Remember remedial stuff you had to do in school? You had to make up for what you missed or what you failed or whatever. And oh, golly, added to the burden of where you are. I had to do that learning Greek. Get to seminary, I had to do the remedial Greek. I had to take, what was it, almost 8 hours of Greek? It was 8 hours of Greek. I never got a bit of credit for that. That's like a half a year. No credit. It was remedial. But remember, we're doing remedial work because someone neglected instilling, equipping you, bringing this to you, encouraging you. Pray that God would give us a remedy for what we have been lost, what was kept from us. Pray for that. And last, I would ask you to pray that God would quicken, make haste. That's a good biblical phrase. For us to become as little children. To gain what we lost from our childhood. The best of it, especially in regard to faith. Even to the place where we pray that God would raise up the children in our lives. Our children, our grandchildren, even our great-grandchildren. Even a four-year-old who can lead us into this kingdom reality. This is the kingdom reality. This has been part of our DNA as a church since the day of Pentecost. Will you embrace it? Let's pray together. Our Father God, show us. Show us in your word. Help us to see. Let it jump out of the page. And open our hearts and open our eyes and open our ears to hear and to see and to receive from you. The word that you would speak to us, the words of encouragement, the words of blessing that you long to speak to us, the words of love telling us that we are your own. So, Father, we pray here for a heart, for a mind that is willing to listen. We pray here for a desire to listen. We pray, Lord, that you would bring about the remedial work we need to do to reclaim this gift, to be equipped, to move forward in it. And we pray, Lord, that we would become as little children who do not seem to have the trouble that we have hearing. And bring into our lives, through our children, grandchildren, even great-grandchildren, when we hear them hear you, and when we hear them speak of seeing what you're doing, may it lead us into that personal reality. In Jesus' name, amen.